How can you make the other person win? And this is the question I often ask during executive coaching sessions whenever a conflictual situation is being discussed. And usually the answer goes, but I don't want them to win. I want to win myself. And that's called zero-sum gain or zero-sum win. For the other person to win, the other must lose. And the problem with making someone lose is that it doesn't help building a relationship or loyalty. It makes them want to take their revenge, making you pay the price and get you to lose next time. In a transactional relationship, you might win a battle, but lose the war. What if both could win? This is how we build mutual value, alliance, or true loyalty that we seek to achieve. But how does it work? First part, find out what's important for them. Bob Berg said, every single day we are faced with the task of persuading others. And every single day we face resistance. So you need to know more about their goals and objectives to make them win. You need to find out, for example, what is instrumental to their success? What would they like to achieve? What is in their heart? What particularly hurt them? What do they hope to see? And you can't help noticing that these points are not necessarily tactical, logical, or even what we consider a negotiation. And it's a true discovery of what the other person is about. And this is important to be able to progress to the next step. Sometimes, if you're like me, you are not keen to ask many questions. Maybe because you don't want to bother the other person or you prefer to talk about yourself. And Harvard neuroscientist Diana Tammy has said, self-disclosure is extremely rewarding. People were even willing to forgo money in order to talk about themselves. Yes, maybe you like to talk about yourself like me, but so do the other people as well. So by taking an interest in the other person, we are using empathy. This is one of the most powerful way of building relationships. Simply said, you like people to listen to, understand, and recognize you. So does everybody else. And in a study done by medical doctors by Beth Huntington and Nettie Kuhn in 2003, they demonstrated that when using listening skills, empathy, and apologies, doctors could reduce their patients' complaint and legal action in case of medical error. As you can see, when you first step forward towards the other person comes towards you. And Dale Carnegie said, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. Wow. The second step is to support them in areas of priority. So once you determine their priorities, you can offer your support and discuss how you can contribute to their success. So when discussing issues with his team, after thinking only 1 second, one of my coaches immediately said, this is what I'm going to do. I will try doing this. And started with a list of actions. And you lose credibility when you repeatedly try and fail with people. Taking the time to understand what is essential for them is vital. But it takes time. So indeed, it is so because sometimes they don't know by themselves. By using deep coaching questions, you can help them discover the answer. The next step is to support them in the area of importance that is not a priority for you. Why is that? By touching a person's heart, you can connect with them. A connection will then enable us to move to a real alliance together. There is an important lesson that I had to learn in my entrepreneurial journey. It is in fact that I can't win people to my vision unless it is also theirs. Especially if you're like me, you can be good at sharing a vision and attracting people to your goals, yet you will find out that it doesn't last long. The only way to build strong, long-term partnership is to connect to their vision, that you connect to their vision. What I now do is that before sharing my vision, I first ask them about theirs. If there is nothing in common, I then ask them what I can do to support them and wish them well, but clearly there will be no partnership possible together. And John Maxwell said that effective leaders know that you first have to touch people's heart before you ask them for a hand. He calls that the law of connection. Touch people's heart before you ask for a hand. The third step is look for synergy and collaborations. So as you have established the relationship and demonstrated that you are trustworthy and willing to add value to them, you can now discuss how to create a mutual value partnership and build synergies. And start by finding common grounds. Asking yourself, for example, what are the points that are priorities for both of us? Is there a topic or goal that fulfills priority goals and objectives for you and the other person? And what you discover will enable both of you to build a strong partnership. I would even say that a successful long-term relationship, the goal of any business, is only possible when both parties are aligned. Fourth step, you will eventually win. So whenever I ask a coachee to consider making the other party win, guess it, they experience positive results most of the time already at the first conversation. And such harmonious relationship focused on mutual business value bring more business value. Why? Because they bring along with them mutual value that brings trust, the trust that saves time. Save time brings more financial results. Trust brings less tension and conflict, and therefore reduce burnout. And reduce incident of burnout saves a lot of cost. That's the whole value chain of trust bringing value. Last step, fifth step, everything positive in the long run comes from relationship. And when I look back at the successes I experienced in my private and professional life alike, I notice that they are all coming from one source, relationships. In my marriage and family, it's obvious. However, in our work and business life, we often forget that behind every successes, most of the time, there are people who contributed to our success through their thoughts, through discussions, encouragement, or work. And let me guess, you failed because you won against them, but because you won with them. Take some time to reflect on these collaborations and take the time to thank them for their contribution. In a world where mobbing, abuses, and prejudice seems to be the norm, it is not only idealistic to let other people win, but it makes complete sense in terms of business value. Are you ready to see long-term collaboration and have the satisfaction of building trusting and mutually beneficial relationship by letting the other person win? And let's hear Dale Carnegie again. You can't win an argument. You can't, because if you lose it, you lose it. And if you win it, you lose it. So before we go, I just would like to give a disclaimer, something I've been thinking deeply. Is that the entire discussion we had here precludes that people you are not interacting with don't have an antisocial personal disorder. how do I know that someone is one of them? And one of my coaches told me that a colleague he had regularly conflict with was a psychopath. So I told him that typically it's only about 2 to 4% of the people, and I encouraged him to use some of the advice I shared here. At the next coaching session, he told me, "This guy is quite nice." "Really? Tell me more." "Yes, we had a great discussion." "What did you do differently?" I didn't go as a bull and took the time to understand him. So this experience taught me a lesson. The abuser is sometimes us, and we do it without awareness. However, suppose that you have strong suspicion that someone is a person with an antisocial personality disorder, ASPD. In that case, you must protect yourself, especially if you are close to that person. It's a close partner, close colleague, spouse, or a partner. So just with that last disclaimer, I really want to encourage you to take that journey of making the other person win so that you will win and be able to build strong alliances and relationship.